distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024. Now, I have quite a few things that I need to mention before we get into our series number 4, Scripturalism versus Judaism, and I think that you will see why I entitled it that particular way. But before we do that, I want to mention that I have here an article written by the Reb, so-called J.H. Allen. Now, does anyone know who he is or was?
Yeah,
okay. This particular Allen is the ghost of, if you want to use the terminology of Scrooge, of Christmas past. This is the one who wrote Judah's scepter, Joseph's birthright, whom Herbert Armstrong wholly plagiarized for the book United States, British Commonwealth and Prophecy. Okay. He also wrote this article, The Nicolaitans. Very good. Okay. So I have a couple of copies left over. You can have those if anyone wants one. They can write in and ask for it, and I'll send it to you. It explains that the doctrine of the Nicolaitans is a hierarchical, tyrannical, dictatorial order of ministry. Explains it very, very good there. Okay? I'd also like to mention here that there are a lot of people who are too mad at Herbert Armstrong, so they don't want to have anything to do with him. Some are so bitter, as a matter of fact, are giving up salvation because he was a human being and sinned. Others look upon him as wholly an apostle of God, and he can do no wrong. Now, we need to clarify just one thing, and that is that Herbert Armstrong, though he was unique, though he did a lot of teaching, though he probably did more than any single individual in our memory in preaching the gospel, God did not reveal directly to him, that is, in the sense that God did to Paul or to John or to the other apostles. Most of the things, and he always refers to his great intensive study before his conversion in the library in Portland, Oregon, and there he did not meet Christ. There he read many versions of the Bible and commentaries. So God did lead him to have his mind open to understand, but God did not reveal, that is, directly come to him and bring it to him. Okay, so we need to have that clarification, because there are going to be some things which we will cover from time to time. And I even had one man write me and say, well, since you bring up Herbert Armstrong once in a while, I want to be taken off your mailing list. So I accommodated him. I took him off the mailing list. But the fact is that none of us, I don't care what your situation is, can wholly ever get away from Herbert Armstrong. Okay? I cannot, because he personally ordained me. Okay? So I have high esteem for the things he did, which are right. But then he also, with his own difficulties and problems, sowed the seeds for all the difficulties we have today. Question, did God know that when he called him? Yes, absolutely. Okay? Now, a couple of other things that I want to cover. We'll get into that one. Want to mention that Carl Franklin is furiously researching, and he's sending me copies of various books that he's finding from Andrews University, which is the University of Samuel Bacciocci, the one who wrote From Sabbath to Sunday, and a couple other books on Sabbath keeping. And we are coming across some things as a result of having written the book. Now, as I mentioned once before, when you accomplish something, that becomes a stepping stone for other things. One of the first things that happened after I finished the book was I began to understand that the Passover of the 15th was the Passover of the rejected. So I did a tape on that. Then we began to see because there is such an onslaught today of people, especially those of Judaism, trying to come into churches of God to Judaize them, in a sense to make them Pharisaical, because I did not know that. There are actually three terms for Judaizing. Did you know that? Three terms. The Jews' term for Judaizing is Gentiles who keep part of the things of God. Judaizing by the Catholics and Protestants, which is anyone who does anything in the Old Testament, i.e. Sabbath keeping. Okay? Then there's Judaizing of the Bible, which is trying to make you do the traditions of the elders separate from the commandments of God. So they're actually the three things under the terminology Judaizing. And I never knew that. Did you know that? You didn't know that. I didn't know that either. Okay? So Carl has been doing a lot of researching, and all of this got kicked off by the question that we discussed, that it's obvious in the Bible that they didn't follow Judaism, and then things began to open up. Okay? So he's found some very interesting books. Here's one called Christianity and Judaism, which I'm just about done with. I have this much more to do. And it is amazing. It admits that it had nothing to do with Christianity from the beginning. I'll read some of that later on, but not today. He has sent me this. Now, there are two groups of people who are working on the Dead Sea Scrolls, and I'm sure you have heard of that. I'm sure you've heard of the conflict that no one knows what's in them because everyone has hidden what is in them. Okay? So the Jews have hidden what they don't want known. The Catholics have hidden what they don't want known. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to tell everyone what it is that they don't want known, which is that the Catholic Church came out of Hellenistic Judaism. The Catholics don't want to admit that. And the Jews don't want it known that Christianity was not a part of Judaism. Okay? So I have another book here. Documents from the Bar Kokhba period. In the Cave of Letters, Greek papyri. Absolute proof that the language they spoke was Greek, not Hebrew. Was Greek, not Hebrew. Okay? Plus some other things which are very interesting. And it goes through and shows the documents and all of the things there. I'll bring you some of that a little later. Here's another book. This is going to prove to be a dynamic book. Jews in Hellenistic and Roman Egypt. Published in 1985. Now, there's another book that was published in 1990. So you see, these things, no one could have known until, what, 8 years ago at the earliest? Okay? So here it is. So as I mentioned to Carl the last time I talked to him, I says, if we were Rush Limbaugh, we would say that we are on the cutting edge of theological evolution today. But we are going to find that we are on the cutting edge of the things which separate true Christianity from Judaism, and we're going to see that the very reason why the New Testament was written was to verify that fact. Okay? How many of you have ever heard of the Jewish temple in Egypt? In the city of Leontopolis, which had a Levitical priesthood, which also produced one of the high priests at the temple. Nobody knew that. Okay, and it does have to do as a comment was made concerning the Septuagint. So we'll have lots and lots of things to talk about when we get there. But this book is absolutely amazing. So after we're done with services, I will leave them on the table. And if you could please keep the pages in order, you can read some of the things that Carl highlighted. Oh, yeah. The question was asked, who are these people that have written his book? They're researchers, they're scholars, trying to answer the question, what happened back then? Okay. And so they're coming along with many things. What it is destroying, it is destroying the Jewish propaganda myth that all Jews have universally always been the same. Not so. They are just as scattered and divided as what we would say Christianity is today. Okay? And so they admit quite a bit of that. Now, one other thing before we get started, which is this. This is quite interesting, just to show you what people do. Okay? Now, this is put out by the so-called United Biblical Church of God in Florida. The man who puts it out is Charles Kimbrough. I wrote quite a technical paper to his son, I forget his first name, who went to Ambassador College and asked why we did the foot washing first instead of last. Okay? And this group still does it last. Okay? And I went through and explained very carefully that the foot washing took place before the supper. Okay? Now, his father has a group, United Biblical Church of God, in Florida. Guess what the title of their little publication is? Just to show you how misleading things can be. It is entitled The Jerusalem Sentinel. And 10 to 1, they can't even speak Hebrew. It's published in Crystal River, Florida. Okay? There's an article here, God's Holidays, Passover. Long and short of it is that we're all going to be wonderful, kind, and understanding people, so we are going to have a Feast of Tabernacles 10 days long. Maybe a year away, it'll be 11 days long, so that we can accommodate everyone, whether they observe or calculate. Now, God did not want an 11-day feast, or a 10-day feast, or a 9-day feast, okay? Here's another little article I have. So anyway, it has to do with all of the viruses that we are getting the enemy from within, to say nothing of the spiritual virus. Okay, and what else do I have here? All right. Now, some of the things I'm going to cover today are brought out from this booklet called David's Greater Son by Howard Rand, which is the same group that put out Judah's Scepter, Joseph Birthright, okay? Destiny Group, which Herbert Armstrong got a lot of his material from there, but never told us. If Jesus lived today, who would be after him? If Jesus lived today, who would be after him? Let me read just a little short column here that is in the Midnight Messenger that Des Griffin sent me. Okay? Wanted, Jesus Christ, by the FBI, the NEA, the ADL, IRS, FDA, and OSHA, etc. Wanted by the FBI for teaching that there's a higher power than and authority than the government. Wanted by the FDA for turning water into wine without a license. Wanted by the EPA for feeding a crowd of 5,000 in the wilderness without a permit. Wanted by the AMA for practicing medicine without a license. Wanted by the NEA for teaching without a certificate. Wanted by the SPCA for driving hogs into the sea. Cruelty to animals. Wanted by the IRS for failing to report income. Wanted by the ADL for calling the Pharisees the children of hell. Wanted by the NAACP for teaching people to work and depend on God rather than on the welfare dole. wanted by Now or the Now Gang for never having chosen a woman as an apostle. Wanted by the Federal Reserve for driving the money changers out of the temple. Wanted by the Abortion Rights League for saying that whosoever harms children, it would be better that they had never been born. Wanted by the U.S. judicial system for refusing to swear an oath or bearing witness against himself. Wanted by the Human Rights Bureau for condemning all other religions as false by announcing that no one can get to the Father except through him. Wanted, dead, bounty offered, 30 pieces of silver in the form of welfare benefits, government pensions, IRS exemptions, witness protection program, media fame. Just a little something to think about. Now, we're ready to get into the sermon of the day, which is Scripturalism versus Judaism, number 4. Now, before we do that, I want to relate just a little something to you. The reason that I chose the title Scripturalism versus Judaism is so that everyone will know I'm not against Jews as people. Okay? And to illustrate that, I need to give you this example. Now, the account goes something like this. Belinda Davis, who attends our congregation, knows a mutual counselor in the Workmen's Rehabilitation Compensation Program, which is, by the way, in California, is a horrendous mess. But nevertheless, she was commenting on how many counselors there are in this profession who are Jewish. She has a co-worker, or at least a co-worker once removed, who is the daughter of two Jewish parents. And she was born in Israel. But in a conversation that she had with her, she announced that she was Muslim and married to a Pakistani. Now you talk about a mixed up world, okay? And so when Belinda asked her, well, how did that happen? She said, well, one day in Israel, she was standing outside the synagogue on a cold and windy and dusty day with the wind blowing like crazy, and all the men were inside the synagogue, and all the women were outside the synagogue because they couldn't go in the synagogue. And she said, phooey, with Judaism, so to speak, if I recall all the conversation correctly. So she does not want to be called a Jew because even though she's a genetic Jew, she is not a practicing Judaizer, or she doesn't practice Judaism. Okay. She wants to be called an Israeli who is of the Muslim faith. Now, just a little aside, this one book, The Origins of Christianity and Judaism, they also take credit for Mohammedism. Okay? Now, the reason that I call this Judaism is so that I do not want anyone who is a Jew or who knows a Jew personally to think that I am hostile or against them. Just like a person could not help it if one of their relatives happened to be a mass murderer. That does not condemn you because you're a relative of that person unless you are out there helping commit the murders or whatever the case may be. So God has called us out of the world. We are to come out of the world. And in coming out of the world, even John the Baptist told those Jews of his time, do not say that we are Abraham's seed. Okay? The long and the short of it is, it doesn't matter who you were before God called you or what you were before God called you. Okay? Even Job had to realize and understand that even all of the good things he did, he had to repent of. Why? Because the good that we do in the world is not the good that comes from God. Okay? Now, let's get into this one today, which is why Jesus never was a Pharisee. Now, as I mentioned, everyone sends me everything. I've got one here, and this is a man that I knew years ago, which we may be in correspondence again. His name is Keith Hunt, and he puts out a little magazine called The Truth of the Matter. Here is another one which was sent to me earlier. Yeshua was an Orthodox Jew. I've mentioned that before, but never got into it. Okay? Remember when we went through the series, The Covenants, where it was proclaimed that Jesus was Jewish? Jesus lived in a Jewish home. Jesus grew up in a Pharisaical synagogue. Everything Jesus did was Jewish through and through and through, thoroughly. Okay, part of that leads to this. Here's an article which Yeshua was an Orthodox Jew, so I'll quote from this one because it's bigger type. The article is this. Most people today, when they read this scripture, that is Matthew 23, verses 1 to 3, fail to realize the full impact of what is written. Yeshua was actually preaching to his disciples that he wanted them to obey the religious instructions and laws which the Pharisees taught. Just because there were some Pharisees who abused their positions as leaders does not mean that the Pharisees as a sect were wrong in their teachings. Nor does it dismiss that Yeshua clearly said to observe and do whatsoever they say. We will cover Matthew 23, 1 to 3 at the appropriate time when we come to it. Okay? I'll just mention here that if you have a New American Standard version of the Bible, it says that they have seated themselves down in Moses' seat. Okay, so we'll cover that when we get to it. Nor does it dismiss that he said, observe and do what they say. Yeshua was not giving a bad piece of advice here when he said to follow the Pharisees' teachings, but if you will look at it carefully, the scribes come first, don't they? Scribes and Pharisees, right? Okay, we'll get into that when the time comes. He was giving the conditions that each person must meet in order to keep his words and be his disciples. Now, how can you be his disciples if you follow the Pharisees? Okay, continuing on, neither were the Pharisees unrighteous people. They were, as Yeshua said, the ones who sat in Moses' seat. They had the right teachings on the law of Moses and were biblically correct in their religious beliefs, practices, and teachings. In fact, even Yeshua or Jesus himself was a Pharisee. Now you know why I'm getting into this, brother. Because when you understand the background of all the things, when we get to it, this is going to really make a lot of sense to you. Now, anyone who says Jesus was not a Pharisee in any way, the article calls you an anti-Semite. Is that not the same thing that happens today? Yes. Now, just to project forward a little bit, in the book that Carl just researched yesterday, he found out the origin of anti-Semitism. What do you suppose the origin of anti-Semitism is? The Christian church rejecting the teachings of the Pharisees way back when. Okay, so they scream bloody murder every time anyone raises an eyebrow. What people have done down through time is misunderstood and thought that Yeshua did not like the Pharisees or their religion. This attitude, however, is merely another form of anti-Semitism. People who go around putting down the Pharisees and hide behind Yeshua. Those who do it are only doing so because they hate Jews. Not so. What did Jesus say when he was on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Okay? Now, you see that Yeshua was perfectly in unity with them. The Orthodox of today even still call themselves Hasidim, as did the Pharisees just before the Maccabees. So to say that Yeshua was a Pharisee is the same thing as saying that he was a Hasidic Jew or an Orthodox Jew. He lived an Orthodox Jewish life. He commanded his disciples to live an Orthodox Jewish life. That command still holds for us today. The fact that Yeshua, Paul, and the other apostles attended synagogue services show that they were Pharisee or Orthodox. This brings us to the development of Orthodox Judaism. As time went on, the Pharisees became known as Orthodox Jews. Orthodox Judaism was the only sect of Judaism until more recent centuries when Reform and Conservative Judaism came about. That is blatantly total ignorance historically. The apostles were those who had the full truth of Yahweh in their day, but even they did not cease to call themselves Pharisees. Now, Paul did say, I am a Pharisee, in Acts the 23rd chapter. But he totally renounced it in Philippians the 3rd chapter. The only reason he said it in Acts the 23rd chapter was to divide the delegation which came from Jerusalem to try and get him killed when they came before, what was the king there? Agrippa or Festus, I forget what it is, but we'll get to it then. He wasn't saying that he was a practicing Pharisee. The article ends with these words. The apostles were Orthodox Messianic Jews, and likewise must Yeshua's true followers still be today Orthodox Messianic Jews. If you're not an Orthodox Messianic Jew, one of them, part of their group, you are not a true follower of Jesus Christ. Now, here's another article. Let's see if I can. Likewise, Yeshua was a Pharisee, and when he saw other Pharisees not living up to what they taught, he came down on them the hardest. He did this because they were his brethren. He felt closer to them and even loved them more than any other people. Are we not special? Also, they had the truth, and Yeshua understood that the Pharisees who were sinning knew better than to do what they were doing against Yahweh's law. People cannot see this. What people have done down through time is misunderstood and thought that Yeshua did not like the Pharisees or their religion. This attitude, however, is merely another form of anti-Semitism. People who go around putting down the Pharisees, hide behind Yeshua to do it, are only doing it because they hate the Jews. Okay, so much for that. I won't read this other one I have, but I've got all kinds of stuff. I'm way over prepared for these sermons, so I'll leave a lot of the reading up to you. Now, let's ask the question, who was Jesus really? Okay? I'm going to make a statement here, and I don't want anyone to be offended. Jesus was not a religious Jew practicing Judaism. He was of the tribe of Judah, the house of David. And that we will see will be a distinct difference. Let's first of all go to John, the 3rd chapter. John 3 and verse 31, and we're going to show today, as I said last week, that Jesus Christ was not, could not have been, never would have been a Pharisee. John 3 and verse 31. Jesus never joined any of their religious parties. Jesus was never taught by them. That's why, as we saw last time, that he chose Mary. Where? in Nazareth, where in Galilee? We're going to understand some of these scriptures a little more clearly as we go through today. John 3 and verse 31. He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. And no man receives his testimony. And he that receives his testimony has set his seal that God is true. And you might put dash, dash, all men are what? All men are what? Liars. Okay? For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. And I challenge anyone who believes that Jesus was a Pharisee. You show me one place in the Bible where he ever gave a command that the Pharisees gave and said we're to follow what they commanded us to do. Now, we'll get to Matthew 23 at the appropriate time, okay? Now, let's continue here, verse 34. For he whom God sends speaks the words of God. Did the Pharisees speak the words of God? No, they added all their own traditions on top of it and isolated it. For God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. The one who is believing on the Son has everlasting life, and the one who believes on not on the Son does not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Okay, let's come to John 8 and verse 23. John 8 and verse 23. Here's what Jesus said. He said to them, verse 23, you are from beneath. Who is he speaking to? The religionists, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the whole bunch. I am from above. Never had a part with them. Okay? You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore I have said unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now, one of the things that many of the churches today are proclaiming is that the Jews can have salvation through their law. Did you know that? That's what the Jews have always held. That's what they've always claimed, but it is not true. Let's come back here, chapter 7 and verse 15. And this that was when Jesus went up in the temple and taught. Now, verse 15, and the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never learned? Well, one thing I've understood in all the research that I've done here is this. All the Pharisaic schools were, guess where? In Jerusalem. Okay? That's where they were. So when it says, having never learned, they are saying that he never learned at their hands. Now, if Jesus was a Pharisee, surely he had to have been taught by Pharisees, correct? Then he would have been accepted by them. And we're going to see that Satan offered that to him. And we're going to look at a scripture that we've looked at I don't know how many times. And when we look at it this time, we're going to really understand the full import of what it means. We'll come to that in just a little bit. So Jesus said to them, my doctrine is not mine, but he that sent me. So therefore, God the Father was a Pharisee, huh? Is that right? All right. And if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeks the glory that is sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Notice verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you are keeping the law? Who's he talking to? Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, the people who were there. Very profound. Let's come back to chapter 5 and verse 19. Okay. Let's go back to verse 16. You know the whole account in chapter 5, there is a man who was impotent for 38 years. Jesus healed him, told him to pick up his bedroll and walk. He picked it up and walked, and he was carrying it on the Sabbath day, and the Jews accused him of commanding the man to break the Sabbath. Remember that? Okay. Verse 16, John 5. And therefore the Jews did persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father is working hitherto, and I work. Now let's put that in a little bit of modern day terminology in relationship to the Pharisees. Did you know that an Orthodox Jew will not light a stove? He will not turn on a light. If you go to the Holy Land, so-called today, you will come into an elevator and you will see a Jew standing there waiting, and they will ask you to push the button for the floor to which they want to go, okay? Because they carry the not work to the total extreme. So if they ran the universe instead of God, every Sabbath they would shut the sun down, okay? You would turn it off because the sun is still working, isn't it? Energy is still going, isn't it? Yes, it is. Is God on the Sabbath day working to uphold the universe? Yes. Okay? Is it lawful and legal for God to work on the Sabbath to uphold the universe? Yes. Is it the kind of work that we would do? No. We don't have that capacity. Okay? Plus, is it not a greater thing to heal a man on the Sabbath day? Is that not a work? This is what he's talking about here, you see. The kind of work to heal and to restore. So it blew their minds, and the Jews sought the more to kill him. And I'll tell you today, brethren, this is the same craw that is stuck in Judaism's throat to this day, because he was the Son of God. They sought to kill him the more because not only had he broken the Sabbath, and you might put dash dash according to their traditions. He didn't break the Sabbath. He didn't sin once. Okay? But said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And the Jews cannot fathom that to this day. Then Jesus answered and said to them, Verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but whatsoever he sees the Father doing. And it's interesting because this is a present tense participle or verb in the Greek, which means whatsoever he is seeing the Father doing, that is what he is doing likewise. Okay? So he saw the Father. The Father taught him, as we will see. Let's go to John the 8th chapter. Interesting that all of these things are in the book of John, isn't it? Yes, it is. Okay. John 8 and verse, we covered that, verse 23 and 24. Let's come down here to verse 27. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. Now, if they knew the Father before then why didn't they understand it then? Then Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, that you will know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. Now let's come to John 8, and let's understand something very, very important concerning that Jesus could never have been a Pharisee. And we're going to see after we're done here that Satan tried to get him to be one. And that one of his temptations was not only a temptation of the kind that we've understood, but also a temptation of a kind we have not understood. Okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. And that's generally what gets you in trouble. Okay? Who has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. So he heard this from God. Okay? This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication, the same thing they teach today. Absolutely, without a doubt. They say, we be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. So Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, then you would love me, which means that if Jesus were a Pharisee, he could not love God. Okay, hold your place right here, and let's go to John, the fifth chapter. We'll be back. Okay, John 5 and verse 39. No, 36. John 5 and verse 36. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, and bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself which has sent me has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men. But I know you that you have not the love of God in you. Now those are pretty strong words, brother. Those are powerful words. And I tell you, for anyone in Judaism, it sets them right on edge. Because I'll state it here right now, and I don't care if it offends anybody. Judaism is a religion of denial of the fact of the existence of Christ. And they are fighting us today to destroy us any way they can, and I will prove that if you have the patience to bear with me through all of this series. If you don't, then you have to ask the question, are you intellectually honest? Now let's come back to John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said, I gave the truth to you. Okay, he said, I didn't come of myself, but he sent me. Verse 43 now. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. Why can you not hear? You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. What is the origin of Judaism? A perversion of the truth of God by Satan the devil. And the inner sanctum of Judaism is Kabbalism, where they worship the devil. Now, those are strong words, and some people are going to get mattered and chickens thrown into the water. But just like chickens thrown into the water, they're cackling and running and screaming so much they don't have time to think. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So therefore, if Jesus became a Pharisee, he would what? He would have to become a liar. If he were taught in Pharisaical schools, he would have been taught Pharisaical lies. Now, you understand why he was kept up north? You understand why he only visited Jerusalem and did not live in Jerusalem? Okay, we'll understand this a little bit more as we go along. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Same thing today. Exactly. Which one of you convicts me of sin? For if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that it is of God hears